Then we turn it on.
Hold it. That sounds like exercise.
Push your finger into it.
Oh! See? Got it.
All right, you learn something new every day.
It can't be good if on and off buttons are complicated.
Hey, listen.
That cannot be good.
They're not complicated. You know how to do it.
If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 15, that's where I'm going to start today. Trying to go, kind of remind us of where we've been. We just finished chapter 14 the last time I was here. And in 14, that's where we saw Abram act in faith. We had the five kings came over from Babylon. Four kings came up from Babylon. They attacked on the way. They attacked five cities. They totally destroyed. And Abram and the soldiers in his house, those that are traveling with him, destroyed these four kings who were took all the way from Babylon across the entire Crescent Valley and conquered what at that time would be the known world. And here's Abram with 316 people decide, yeah, I'll take them on because God has promised me to be in charge. And I'm going to go save my nephew Lot. And he goes, and not only does he get Lot back, he utterly destroys those kings. He had no business winning unless there's supernatural help.
Amen.
He has this outward act of faith, and it works for him. Chapter 15 is one of those chapters I'd urge you to remember. All Scripture is important, every word of it. But there are places in Scripture that you can go to. They either have things that are prophetic, they hinge on certain things. For me, chapter 15 has a piece of that at the end, but has a piece at the beginning where we think of Abram as this amazing individual, and he was. But he struggled on the inside with doubt. He struggled, am I doing it the right thing? Is this really going to happen? And chapter 15 is an expression of Abram's doubt, his worries, his concerns that he has as he goes through. So we're going to track that as we go through. So we just see him act in faith, but internally his mind is just racing. How's this going to work? Is it going to work? What do we do? And so that's where we are. So this is immediately following that action of him defeating those kings, turning down the wealth that Sodom offered him, and just breaking bread, right, just outside of what we now know as Jerusalem. So let's start verse 1. We'll start there, and then we'll kind of break it down. And I'll be reading out of the Amplified Version as normal. And it reads, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. It's these first three words there after these things that help us understand that there is a connection between what we're reading now and what just happened. Sometimes we just read the Bible and we just read it to read it, like it's a task that we need to do. Sitting back and thinking about this, these words, after these things, is trying to put this message together with what just happened. We often look at people and we judge each other all the time. Oh, she's got it together. Oh, he's got a life figured out. It's easy for them. What we see on the outside is not what's on the inside. That's why later on, it's God who looks inside and knows what's going on. From an outsider's view, Abram's got it figured out. He's got a strong faith. Everything's working out for him. But inside, he's in turmoil. And so 15 is letting us know that these are connected, that we should read 15 in light of what he just did. So he's won a great battle. He's turned down this great reward that humanity was offering him. But instead, he is still struggling, and that's what we're going to see. And so what does God say to him? Well, first, a word of the Lord comes to him. This is not anything like he's imagining. This is divine communication. God is speaking to him, coming to him with a word because he knows where Abram is. He knows where he's struggling. He knows that he can help out. He's coming to help him to move God's will forward. And so God is stepping in here. This is a point where Abram is now going to be having a prophetic vision. where he's going to be looking at what's going to happen, because God's going to help clarify some things, because internally Abram's struggling, and internally Abram is starting to get things wrong. He has some thoughts of how this whole promise is going to work out, and God's going to let him know that he's absolutely wrong, and he's going to turn it around for him. So he has a vision. The vision, this is a primary means of revelation in the Old Testament. It happens throughout time that different figures throughout the Old Testament have visions. So here's Abram having one of those. This is where God's initiating something for him to see, something for him to understand. And the first thing out after that vision is, do not be afraid.
Come on.
He is speaking directly to Abram. Don't be afraid. He's addressing real fear.
Yeah.
Every one of us has this struggle. We have this fear of what's happening with our family, what's happening with ourselves, at work, at home, in our country. It doesn't matter. We all have these fears. Abram is struggling in fear. For me, that's hard to imagine. You just defeated the greatest army in the world at that time. And he's fearful. He's fearful for retaliation. He's fearful for how are these things going to happen. He has an uncertainty about what's going to go forward. This tension is building on inside of Abraham.
Good.
It's that tension that he has, that we have. This will pull you away from God.
Good.
And what he does with it in this chapter is very important. And we'll get to it in a minute. But we need to follow his pattern, because what he does with it is what we should do with it. Not just sit there and let it stir and cause up stress and anxiety and let it put doubts in our head. Instead, we'll see what Abram does here in just a second, and it's the pattern we should follow. God's not going to dismiss his fear. He's going to address it for him, and he's just telling him, do not fear. But he's not just going to tell him, do not fear, and then leave it alone. He's going to tell him why.
Yeah.
So he says, do not fear. And then he says, I am your shield. He doesn't say, I will give you a shield. He goes, I am your shield.
Yeah.
Abram, don't go looking for something else. Too often, we go looking for something else, because we don't think God's enough.
That's good.
Or we don't feel that God is enough. Or we put a, Tammy and I talked about this just before church, or we put a limit on God and we make God an idol.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you're going to have to do it this way. Well, who are we to say how God's going to do something? I can barely take care of myself, much less the universe, right? We need to not make an idol out of God. What we need to do is sit there and have trust in who he is, right?
Yes.
Every one of us has something in our lives right now, I don't care who we are, that is hacking us off, right? It annoys us beyond belief, right? It could be health, it could be money, it could be work, it could be ding-dongs in the community, whatever it is. Right? For me, it's ding-dongs in the community right now. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Right? But whatever it is, when I try to solve it, I make it worse.
Amen. Yeah, right. Good.
Instead of, where should I take it? To the cross.
Amen. Good word.
I am not capable. Here it is. Just, I'll let you deal with it. That's what Abram needs to do. So God's saying, I am not giving you shield, I am your shield. Abram, don't worry about them coming back to attack you. I got it. Abram, don't worry about your heir. I got it. Abram, don't worry about fill in the blank. I got it. That's the piece here that he's being told about. Abram, quit worrying. You're fine. I got it. I am your shield. He then goes back and says, your exceedingly great reward. He goes back to this reward that you're going to have. Remember, at the beginning of this, right? After these things, right? We're connecting it to what just happened. He's giving him, you're going to have a reward. Well, he just turned down the reward of the entire Fertile Crescent. The entire Middle East. He turned down that reward. And God's like, I'm going to give you something bigger.
Yep.
I'm going to give you a much better reward than that. And so, if that was me and I could put that together, which I don't know that I would in the time, that is an amazing that God's going to have a reward greater than the rewards of the world. There's something much greater to him. And that reward that he's giving him is God himself.
Yeah.
Interesting, the word reward here. You know, I've said this before. We are unfortunate that we speak the English language, because it's a limiting language. We have one word that is used in many different situations. Here, the word reward is a type of reward in Hebrew that means overflowing.
Come on.
Like, you can't put a limit on it. What's the one thing you can't put a limit on?
God.
God is the overflowing reward that he's saying, I'm going to give you. For us, this is a vision of who stood on that cross. Right? That's the overflowing. It's that forgiveness. It's that reward in heaven. It is an abundant reward. And that's the reward he's going to give him. Again, he's telling him, I'm your protection. Quit worrying about the world. I'm your reward. It's through him that we're going to have that. There's a great pastor from the late, I think 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, if you ever, amazing. And Charles Spurgeon has a quote on this line, and I think it's great. The fullness of I am your reward cannot be exhausted.
Ooh, good.
We cannot even fathom how limitless that is, that I am your reward. Because every one of us has to answer for sins. The difference is, for those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ, that's the reward, that he has said, I'll take your punishment for you. That's, and then what's that give you? Eternal life.
Amen.
It's an overflowing, an abundance peace that is. This little section here, as I said, all scripture is important. But we're here in the first verse of chapter 15, and we're already down to looking at the fullness of reward and what it means. And how great that is. Abraham acted in faith. He won a supernatural victory, but he's needing encouragement. He's needing reassurance. And he's getting it here from God, who's speaking directly to him, saying, I'm your protection. I'm your provision. I am all that you need. The thing to take away from the first verse here is even a strong faith needs God.
Yes.
All of us need God.
Yes.
When you are struggling, where do you turn to? I would like to tell you that I turn to God first when I'm struggling. That would not be a true statement. I try to solve it myself more often than not. Or I get mad. Brandy can tell you. I usually have to go for a walk sometimes at work. Right, but we all try to solve things ourselves. And every time I've ever tried to solve what's God's to handle, it never works out for me. But when we put it on him and let him take it, it always works out.
Yeah, amen.
Verses 2 through 3, let's move on. Abram said, Lord God, what reward will you give me since I am childless? And he who will be the owner and heir of my house is this Eliezer from Damascus. And Abram continued, since you have given me no child, one born in my house is my heir. What's interesting how Abram addresses God here. He gives him two names. He calls him Lord and he calls him God. Now, we just see God in the English language. Again, not very good. The word for God there that he uses is Adonai, the sovereign God. He doesn't just say, hey, God up in the heavens. God who is in charge. God, you are sovereign. It is yours to do what you want. I am just merely a servant of yours. That's who he's addressing. He is addressing the God who is in charge and I'm going to just follow your will. He also puts with it the word Lord, the covenant-keeping God.
Oh, good.
God who's sovereign and who keeps your covenant, who keeps your promises. He's putting those together. Lord God, when we see that together, that's who he's addressing. He's coming to the sovereign master and the covenant Lord. He is saying, I'm going to submit to your will. When you call God Adonai, you're saying, you're in charge, lead me.
Yeah.
You're surrendering to your king. And when you talk about Lord, Yahweh, you're saying, you have a promise, and I trust that promise. I'm going to follow that. That's who Abraham comes right to. He understands where he's at, and he comes right to him. I am your God. Then, what's he do? He goes, what reward will you give me? Abraham's bringing his struggle to God. So often, we have doubts, and our doubts and our questions cause us to doubt and question our faith. And it should not. Here's Abram. He's talking with God, and he has doubts. If the man who talked to God has doubts, then it's okay for us to have doubts. The difference is, what do you do with that?
Amen.
If you have those doubts and you let them fester and you do nothing with them, right, that's taking you away from God.
Good.
But when you have doubts and you go to God and say, I have this doubt, you're taking it to Him, you're submitting to God.
Yes.
You're bringing that doubt to Him. I got this doubt in my head, because that doubt may not be your your thought. There is evil spirits in the world that are going to put things in your head. There are evil people in the world that are going to put things in your head. There is things like YouTube that are going to put things in your head. We need to take every doubt we have, every concern, every question, take it to God.
Amen. Come on.
When you are questioning something, question God. Take it to Him. It's not a lack of faith. In fact, it is faith.
It is.
Yeah.
Take it to Him. Here is God, Abram saying, all right, I don't understand what this reward is. I don't get it. Tell me what it is. He's asking for it. Right? Because Abram's standing from a point of view, a cultural point of view that we don't really understand. Right? We're not living in the Middle East 4,000 years ago. Abram's like, you promised me a nation. I don't even have a... I'm childless. Because that's why he brought up Eleazar. He's like, how am I going to have an heir? How am I going to have great nations? I don't even have a kid. Because it's through a son that that would go through. So he's bringing that question. He's pointing to this promise and saying it's still unfulfilled. So he's bringing the question to him. Right? He has a longing. He wants it filled. So he's bringing it back to him. Our faith struggles whenever our eyes and what our heart says don't match. Right? If I see one thing, but my heart tells me, my faith tells me it's something else, that is a struggle, that conflict in my faith sometimes. Don't let it fester. Take it to God. Right? Your eyes will create an idol for you pretty quickly. Right? I see a problem. I prayed to God to fix it. He hasn't fixed it. And so then I can get mad at Him. No. Maybe He hasn't fixed it because I'm not in the right place yet to receive it. Maybe He hasn't fixed it yet because the person who's over there, he's working on, and it's that struggle that him, me, or all of us need to go through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He's going to fix it when we're ready, not when we ask Him to.
Yep.
And so Abraham's bringing that. Abraham's going through this time of not having his promise fulfilled, because I don't think Abram's ready to have it fulfilled yet. And so he's going through this. So our faith can struggle, though, when our eyes tell us something else. And that's the point here. Abraham is bringing that to God. Now, one of the reasons is, why does he think Eleazar would be the one to be his heir? I struggled with that. Then I did some studying, and it was actually a pretty easy answer once I read people who speak Hebrew better than me. Eleazar is from Damascus. Damascus is actually it's a wordplay. Yes, he is from Damascus. I believe that because it's in the Bible, so it's got to be true. But Damascus is actually very close, almost identical to the word heir in Hebrew. So he's like, Eleazar from Damascus, Eleazar, the heir. He could see that wordplay together. That's where he's thinking this is through together. And so he's thinking no offspring. There's that guy who's from that city that means heir. That is probably going to be my heir, because I don't have one. Because that would also be part of their culture, that if you don't have a son, you could somewhat basically adopt someone into your family to carry it on. And he's thinking that's what it is. What I think is great about this whole verse too is, look at how Abram is talking to God in his prayer. There's no, Christianity, big three, four syllable words, right? There's none of that fancy whatever. We sometimes have to pray thinking we need to have, an 8-hour prayer and have all these big fancy words. You need to talk to God like you talk to your best friend.
Amen.
Yes.
Just talk.
Come on.
Whatever it is, there's no pretense, no religious language, there's no magic order to the words that you have to do for it to work out, right? It's not magic. Just talk to God. Just have that relationship. That's where Abram is in this. This is Abram as if he's talking to anybody else. Here's my concerns. What's going on? He's just having a conversation. God wants an honest relationship with you.
Amen.
He does not want a performance from you.
Amen.
It's not about, well, that was a pretty good prayer, but if you would have used, a couple more syllables in there, Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, but if you would have had your best tie on today, you know, that would have been it.
Right.
He wants you where you
come on.
Are.
That's good. Yes.
You go talk to people who have been saved. Where are people saved at? When they're at their lowest of lows. If he will go to the lowest of lows to save you, why in the world would he care how you talk or look?
Amen. Come on. Yep.
God wants to be with you, wherever that is. So just turn and talk to him. He is the best friend you'll have. It's a relational thing between you and him. Be in relationship with God, and that's where we need to be, and that's where we are. Ask yourself when you're struggling, where are you at with God? When you're struggling in faith, where are you at in your relationship with him? When I find that my life, things are working out, things are going good, I can look at those times and go, you know, I'm in a pretty good relationship with God at that time. When I'm struggling in things, I can also look and go, probably haven't prayed in a while. I haven't been there. I haven't taken my concerns to him. Where you are in your relationship with God is going to be where you are in your life. Does that mean everything's going to be easy? No. Tell me what she read today. Can't tell me that the apostles, right, they walked with the guy, taught under him, and where did they, all but one of them was killed.
Yep.
And the one who wasn't killed was boiled in oil, and just, God's like, no, I'm going to keep you alive for a while.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like they had an easy life.
Yeah.
Right? But where are you?
That's right.
Look at where they are in the apostles. That's the thing to take away from Acts. The struggles they have, where do they stay? In relationship
that's
with God.
Right.
And that's where we can be. We need to be seeking God.
Yes.
Right? And we need to be turning to God more and more. Let's go to verses 4 and 5. And I probably need to hurry up here. It says, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. And the Lord brought Abram outside, look now towards the heavens and count the stars.
Yes.
If you're able to count them, then he said to him, so shall your descendants be.
Yes.
Here, obviously, right away, Abram, you are wrong. It's not going to be Eliezer. It's going to be, you're going to have a biological descendant. But the thing here for me that I love from verses 4 and 5 that I took away is, where was Abram before and after in this conversation? It says, and the Lord brought Abram outside. If he brought him outside, where was he first? He was inside. The key here is, when you're struggling to find the Lord, change your perspective.
Oh, good. Yeah,
that's good.
Abram's inside. He sees walls. He sees what it is. Abram's worried about, I don't have a kid. I don't have this going on. What's God say? Changes his perspective. Quit looking around you and start looking up. Look at the stars. Change your view to the heaven. He changes his perspective because that's where we need to be. We want God's will to conform to our will. That's the problem. That's humanity's number one problem. I want God's will to be my will. I want you to conform to me, not me to conform to you. And so God turns around. God's not threatened by our questions. Right? We just have to be open to his answers. Okay?
Amen.
Change your perspective. If you're struggling, change your perspective. What was Abram told to do? Look up. Look at the stars. Look at the creation around. And by looking at that creation, it's not just changing that perspective, but he's telling him, you need to look beyond your circumstances and see the things that I have given you to be promises to you. We know from the story from Noah, the narrative of Noah, that when we see a rainbow, we should see God's promise never to flood the earth again.
Yep.
Here, when we look at the stars, we should see the promise that God gave Abram.
Amen.
When we look at the beach and see all the sand, we should see the promise that God gave Abram. Because he pointed at those as symbols of all the descendants of Abram. That's you and I. That is us. We are grafted into that family by our belief. And that we should see that. He's telling him, to change your perspective, Abram, you're looking in the wrong place. Go outside, look up. Count the stars. He gives him something that's impossible to do, not to prove to him that he's not powerful enough, to prove to him that you're looking in the wrong place for your answers. You need to change. He's helping him see something so much different. quit looking at the physical world and look at what you already called me, Abram. You called me Lord, right? The promise-keeping God. Maybe you should be looking at the promise-keeping God for answers.
Amen.
Not looking at yourself.
Good.
Right? So the next time you see a rainbow, you see sand, or you see the stars, we should be looking at those as symbols of God's promise. Because they're important. In verse 6, it says, then Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This verse, though simple, has some very important things for us. Then Abram believed, that third word believed. Do you know that's the first time in the Bible the word believed appears? And that word in Hebrew is amen. That's where when we say amen at the end of a prayer, this is where it comes from. We are pointing back to Abram that we believe. And what it means in Hebrew is to lean fully upon, to trust completely. When you pray and you say amen, it means that you trust completely that God's going to fulfill that promise, that you trust completely in Him. The first time it appears here is chapter 15, verse 6. And then it comes up to, because he believed, he was then counted as righteous. The word counted there, that we see as counted, could have different words as you go through. It actually comes from the Hebrew word hasab. That is a legal definition. If you think of like an accountant, they put something into your account. Something was added to you. Something was given to you. It's a legal definition. It means you didn't earn it. It was given freely to you. Right? And what was given? Righteousness. It was given that righteousness was given to Abram because he didn't earn it. It's just because he believed. It's that point here, chapter 15, verse 6. And again, yeah, those were put, the verses and chapters were put in later. But we can look at the order. This is put in here that righteousness comes from belief. This is before Moses. This is before circumcision. This is before any law. This is before anything that faith comes, or salvation comes from righteousness.
Yes.
It happens here before anything act to do. When anyone tells you, oh, you got to do X, Y, or Z to be saved. No, you don't. You need to believe. It's the first thing in the Bible. It's before any law ever came.
Yep.
The law only points to your need for chapter 15, verse 6. It doesn't. The law doesn't save you.
That's right.
None of that. None of the acts that they did save you. It's chapter 15, verse 6 points out what the one thing you need to do, and that's believe. To trust completely, to rely on fully who God is. It's the faith comes before the law. Verses 7 and 8 says, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as an inheritance. But Abram said, Lord God, by what will I know that I will inherit it? Here God responds back to him and says, I am the Lord. Again, what's Lord? It's Yahweh. It's the covenant-keeping, the promise-keeping God. He's saying, remember, I'm the promise-keeper. I told you I was going to take you out of Ur. Look around. You're not in Ur anymore, Abram. I've already fulfilled that promise. He's pointing at things I've already done. Why are you? I've already done some of these. Why would you doubt the rest? I've already done some of these promises. Why would you do the rest? We as Christians today should be looking at the Old Testament. All the things God has done for Christians, for He's done for Israelites, He's already completed. Those are proof that His promises of the future are still going to happen. That's what he's telling Abram. Look what I already did. That means the rest of it will come true. We should believe that as well.
Amen.
Okay? He's already telling them what he did. So what does Abram come back? Lord God. He's coming right back to it. You are sovereign. You are the sovereign promise-keeping God. Abram's submitting. He's still asking because he still has he doesn't understand. And again, he's seeking God. He's seeking God through his question. Our questions never cancel our righteousness. All they do is just bring us into a conversation. And that's the important piece. So he comes back, how shall I know? He's asking for assurance. He just wants to know more. He wants to be able to understand this. Right? And there's nothing wrong with asking a question of God. And so Abram asked the question, And so God answers in verses 9 through 11. So God said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abram brought all these to him and cut them down the middle and laid each half opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. The birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. Now, this may seem like an odd answer in 2026. You know, how will I know? Go get some animals, cut them in half. I can't imagine Opal here cutting a cow in half and then, right? Ruin the carpet. But to Abram, this makes sense. The reason this makes sense is because he's going to cut a covenant. Yeah. We act like we understand covenant. We don't understand covenant. It's just not part of our world. We understand contracts, which are broken all the time. That's why you have courts. Yep. Right? Covenants are more.
Amen.
A covenant is you're taking an animal that's innocent and you're laying it open, half and half. You're creating a path through. So if Robin and I were to enter a covenant, we would lay these animals apart in half, and her and I then would walk through it. That symbol of walking through it says, if one of us breaks this, cut me in half like this. This is the penalty if I break this. Not like I'm going to pay her some money to get out of it. No. If I break it, cut me in half, because that's what happens. So he cuts it in half. He lays it out that way. So he's understanding, like, oh, he's going to make a vow here. We're going to do covenant now. He's going to break that in half. So he cuts it in half. But then he's got to wait. Right? And there's coming down. And I loved what I had multiple different, as I read some commentary. The birds coming down. It's like, why are we waiting? Well, we're waiting right now as the church, aren't we? We're waiting right now for our Savior to return. And what Abram does, he's protecting that covenant. He's keeping evil away. We as a church need to protect that covenant to this day. Tammy talked about false teachers. We need to protect our covenant, because there's people that want to twist that. There's people that want to add words to the Bible, change the meaning, want to do things. We got to protect that covenant, because we let someone twist that covenant and share it with someone else, we're letting that person's salvation walk away from them. And we can't do that. We got to protect that covenant. Abraham's protecting that covenant. Hasn't even happened yet, and he's protecting that covenant. We are children of Abraham because of Amen, because we believed. Protect that covenant. Protect it when you teach your children. Protect it when you hear someone say, you know the Bible, and show me.
Amen.
Guarantee you they won't.
Yeah.
Protect the covenant.
Good.
We need to protect it. And so he lays them out and he waits. And there's nothing wrong with the wait. We need to wait. Not only are we waiting as a church now, but sometimes we got to wait because we got to get into the right place to go into covenant.
Yeah.
It's not something to enter into lightly.
Yeah.
We got to wait. And then after we wait, because you know we're waiting for God to establish this, we come up with verses 12 through 16 here. And it reads, when the sun was setting, a deep sleep came over Abram, and a horror of great darkness overcame him. God said to Abram, know for sure that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But on that nation whom your descendants will serve, I will bring judgment, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, your descendants shall return here, for the wickedness and guilt of the Amorites is not yet complete. So God puts him in a sleep. That should take us back to early Genesis, when Adam was put into a sleep, right? So Eve could be created. Here, God's putting Abram to sleep for a couple reasons. Number one is, this covenant is not have anything to do with Abram's ability or power.
Yep.
He's taking man out of this thing. God is going to walk that path of the covenant on his own, meaning that fulfillment of covenant is 100% on God. God is saying, I'm not letting man take part as far as promising the covenant. It's all on God. If he would have let Abram walk through it, then we would have to do works for salvation, which we can't do.
Amen.
By putting Abram to sleep where he can't act, God's saying, I got this. And we know he did for us 2,000 years ago on the cross, and then 40 days later when he ascended.
Yep.
Right? It's through that that God is fulfilling that promise. He then goes on and tells Abram some things that we should read 13 through 16, and it should bring up to us Exodus, right? We should start to see that's going to Egypt and that's going there. And the reason I think this comes up here, why does he tell them this now? I don't think it's for Abram at the time. Because Abram was like, where are we going? Right? And then he gets told, well, you're not going anywhere. It's going to be your descendants. But they will come back. But it's interesting. Why would he put this here now? I think this is here in this order now because in the next section, we should understand what was happening. So if you'll turn with me, and we're just about done here, to verses 17 through 21, we can see why. Because we should be thinking Exodus right now as Bible readers when we start to think about where they're going to go. So in verse 17 it says, when the sun had gone down and a deep darkness had come, there appeared a smoking brazier and a flaming torch which passed between the pieces. On the same day the Lord God made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim, the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. What is seen here going through that covenant is what we see when they leave Egypt.
Yeah.
It's a pillar of fire and smoke.
Ooh, good.
What Abram sees walking through that covenant is the same thing Israel see when they left Egypt. A pillar of fire and smoke leading the way. Abram actually sees the same thing 400 years later they will see that guides them out of slavery and out of bondage. He sees doing the covenant. It's the same thing Moses sees when he sees the burning bush. He sees the Spirit of God making that covenant. For Abram, that probably didn't make sense why that language was there. He probably didn't understand it. But for those throughout Israel and the history, for us in Christianity, it should trigger what that vision was. And that vision was a God making covenant.
Yeah.
And we get described later on of what that is. He gets to see God's action go through. Great thing about chapter 15 is there's so much here. We understand what belief is, how it leads to righteousness. We get to see the covenant that God says, I got this, not you. I will take on all the duties to fulfill the covenant, not you. This is the gospel before the gospel.
Yeah.
This is the good news. All you got to do is believe. It doesn't say you got to be perfect. It doesn't say that you can't have doubts. It doesn't say that you can't screw up. It doesn't say that you can't backslide. It doesn't say that you have to perform. You just simply believe. And belief and doubts are not in battle against each other. It's just part of our walk. It's okay to have a doubt and have a question. It's okay to say, I don't understand. I don't understand, God, what this means. I don't understand, God, why you haven't returned yet. I don't understand why I have this illness. I don't understand why my finances aren't working. I don't understand why I have a family member who's struggling with drugs. I don't understand why social media is the dumbest thing ever.
Amen.
Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's taking that to God. Those doubts are not a problem as long as you take them to God. Take them to where they belong.
Yes.
As they said in here, Yahweh Adonai, Lord God, the sovereign, promise-keeping God, is if we keep our vision there, we keep our relationship there, we are on the right path. And when you get off that path, get into relationship. Ask those questions. Ask for those struggles to be fixed, for those questions to be answered, to get back into it. Chapter 15 is a beautiful chapter that kind of goes different places, but so many times for me, I think of Moses, I think of Noah and Abraham as these, I put them on a pillar, and I shouldn't do that. I think of these great men of the Bible. I shouldn't put them up there because they're just people. They have doubts just like I do. They have worries and everything else. But the thing about them is, where did they go when they struggled?
Yeah.
And that's the pattern here today. As you struggle today, tomorrow, next week, next year, whatever, just go to Adonai Yahweh. God is sovereign, and that's a good thing because we would screw it up. He is the promise keeper, which is a good thing because all of us have broken promises. But He won't do that.
Amen.
And if we understand that difference between us and Him, we understand the word holy, the separation between us and Him.
Yes.
And that understanding that separation is fine because He still loves us.
Amen.
He decided before Joanne was ever created that that gap was enough to die for.
Amen.
He understood that all those kids downstairs right now, He would be nailed on the cross no matter what their futures are.
Amen.
And that's the beauty of our God. If you'll join me in prayer, let's give thanks to Him and then we'll be dismissed. Father God, I come to You today, each one of us, and I just want to say thank You. I want to thank You for Your Word, the wisdom that's in it, the pieces that we get glimpses of and the things that we miss that we keep learning as we go through. But Father, I want to thank You for the words today and just that doubt's not a weakness of mine. It's just part of my walk. It's part of my growth. And I pray that each one of us today, Father, that we act moving forward, that we take whatever bothers us, whether it be an illness that Tammy talked about, whether it be finances that we talked about, whether it just be questions or worries, that we take them where they belong. We follow Abram's path. We take them to You.
Yes.
That each of us understands that the world is following Your will, and that when we have struggles, we just leave it at the cross. Say, You got this, and we are just here along for the ride. That we let You handle this world and not be angered or frustrated by how it goes. That we just let those actions draw us closer to You and put our trust in You and our love in You more and more every day. And it's through that relationship with You that we become closer and we continue to grow until that day that You call us home, whether that be through the rapture or through death, that until that day that we continue to grow. Father, I want to thank You for everyone in this church, my brothers and sisters in Christ here, of how much I love this place. As Slim said earlier, how thankful for each and every person in this building today. How we support each other, we love each other, we fellowship together, and it grows our faith to get us through to we're back here again. Father, I thank You for the love that You express through each one of us. You express through the worldwide church, and You express through the stars and the sand and the rainbow. I know I'm not worthy of it, Father, because we are separated. But I thank You for the love that You have as the promise-keeping, sovereign God, who at Your right hand is our King, and we're just waiting for Him to come home. In His name, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Woo. Now I'm really glad I came to church. Yeah. Woo. Amen. Yeah.
Oh. I almost didn't make it through the songs.
Good job. That's nice. Thank you. Bringing the word.
Woo! Thanks.
Smoking. Yeah.
Oh, no.